This morning I want to get into a passage and ignore the title. It's the right passage, it's just a different title. It happens a lot, I feel like that way, but anyway, that's where we're at. We're going to be in that passage in Luke chapter 7. This is the healing of the centurion's servant. As we look at this passage this morning, I want us to look at a couple different things that I had looked at before, but maybe in a different light. And so we are going to look at this man. To start off with, we're going to look at the servant. So if you would focus on the servant as we start through this passage, and then we're going to switch and we're going to focus on the centurion, and then we're going to switch and we're going to focus on Jesus. So as we go through this passage, you got a lot to focus on this morning. So if you would read along with me, starting in verse 1 of Luke chapter 7. Now when he had concluded all of his sayings in hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you that I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the home, found the servant well who had been sick. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you and we open the word. And Lord, we call on you to move among us. For if you don't, Lord, we're wasting our time. Lord, every person in this place is here for a reason, and every person in this place here needs a touch from you. Lord, find us where we are. Touch us and change us. Mold us and use us that we might honor you. Holy Spirit, move among us. In your name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, like I said, I want to start off. I want to look at this servant. We know very little about him, but what we do know is he didn't have long for this earth. It says he was about to die. We don't know from what. We just know that he was near to death. We know that also that there probably wasn't much he could do. If he could have got up and came to Jesus, maybe he would have done that on his own. Maybe he didn't even know about Jesus on his own. Maybe it was just the centurion that knew had heard of Jesus. Maybe the servant had not heard of Jesus. But we know that he's about to die. We know that he probably couldn't do anything for himself. And we know that somebody deeply loved him. That's what we know about this servant. The passage is about the healing of this servant. But the passage goes beyond that. It goes deeper than that, and today I want it to go deeper than you just hear what you have to say. I don't want you to hear what I have to say. I want you to see what God has for you today. Because that's the only way you're going to get anything out of this service, is for you to ask God and to call on God to speak to you. Because if you're looking for this guy to speak to you, it's not going to happen. You're not going to hear anything. And if you hear it, by the time you walk out of here, You're going to be thinking Mother's Day. You're going to be thinking graduation. You're going to be thinking all of those important things. And as important as those things are, we cannot look past what God wants to do this morning. I don't apologize for it, but you know, over the past 3 years, I am not the pastor that preaches to mothers on Mother's Day. You know why? Because there's fathers and there's kids that are here too. I don't preach to fathers on Father's Day. We are here to hear what God has to say to us. And we're not going to miss that. I pray that you hear what God has to say to you. What He's got to say to you may be different than what He's been saying to me all week. What He's saying to me all week may be different than what He's saying to you. But don't pull a husband and just hear what you want to hear. I saw so many wives look sideways right there. One of them didn't have to. She's just staring up here. But that's what happens in church just the same. We come and we expect to hear what we want to hear. Okay, we've heard this passage before. We know about this passage. We know about the centurion. We know about the things that take place. But I want you to hear what He's got for you. I don't know what that is. He doesn't run it through me. He wants to speak to you. It's a personal relationship. We know that servant in this passage was in sad shape. And I want to ask you a question. Do you have one of those people in your life? Do you have one of those people that, like this servant, they're headed towards death? And I know your first thought is, well, we're all headed towards death. No, we're not. We're not all headed towards death. Because Jesus says in John 11:26 that if you believe in Him, you will never die. So I don't know about you guys, but I know the Bible tells me that I don't have to die. Now this body, this tent is going to go to sleep someday. But that's just a transition for me into the presence of God. Because I do not have to die. And according to the Scripture, anybody that has believed in Jesus Christ as the resurrection of God does not have to die. That is such an encouragement to us. But it's also an eye-opener. Because that means that those that are like this servant, that are looking forward to death, and maybe not looking forward to it, but that's what's in front of them, are those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you and I have the servant in our life. We have people that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, so all they have before them is death. That's a sad spot to start. But that's where we've got to be. Because until we get that grasp in our mind, all I have to think about is the fact that, hey, I'm okay. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to experience death. This body's going to quit, and I'm going to go on, and He's going to give me a new heavenly body. He's going to wipe away every tear from my eye. There's no more sorrow, no more death, nothing, because of my faith in Jesus Christ. But if all I think about is that, then all the servants in my life out there are in the same boat as this man. He was a servant. He had a sickness. We're going to change that sickness word to sin. He had that sin in his life that was leading to death. Now we're all, as Christians, I'm still a sinner. I still make mistakes, but Jesus Christ has taken away my sin. He died on the cross so that my sin would be taken care of. So I don't have that sickness that leads to death. I still have that sickness, that sin in my life that I need to turn over to Him every day. I need to confess to Him every day. Too many times as Christians, we don't think about that. We have to confess our sins daily. If you don't confess your sins daily, you are basically saying, I don't sin daily. And we all know that we do. This man, our friends, those people in our lives, have that sickness, that sin that's leading to death. We know that. We know that they're leading to death. We know that they cannot save themselves. This man, he stayed at the house. The centurion sent other people. He sent the Jewish elders, and then he sent friends to talk to Jesus. This man couldn't go on his own. And if you're out there and you're in the shape of this servant, there's nothing you can do on your own. I've talked to people over the years, and I'm sure some of you have too, that said, well, you know, as soon as I get this worked out in my life, as soon as I can quit doing this, as soon as I can stop doing that, I'm going to turn my life over. It's never going to happen. You cannot do it on your own, no more than this sick man that was about to die could get up and go find Jesus. We need help. And that help comes through Jesus. It comes through the drawing of the Holy Spirit. This man was ready to die. He couldn't save himself. Do you have that person in your life? Because if you do, the next question is very, very pointed. He had somebody that cared deeply about him, that was going to do whatever he could to get Jesus to heal him. Do you care deeply about that person? Well, I care about them. I know they're lost, and I want them to come to know Jesus. Then what are you doing about it? That's the question I have to ask myself. That's the question you need to ask yourself. If you have this person in your life, what are you doing about it? If you care deeply, you will do something about it. But like this centurion, as we switch to the centurion, he had heard about Jesus. He evidently knew who Jesus was. He knew Jesus' power. He had heard of what Jesus could do and had done. That's where a lot of us are sitting. We're sitting as a centurion. We know what Jesus has done in our life. We know what Jesus can do. We know what He did for that lost person, that person that is apart from Him right now. But unfortunately, we're too much like this centurion. Because he had heard about Jesus, and what does he do? He sends Jewish elders. He was probably a Roman Gentile, an officer who's in charge of probably 100 men, but he was a Gentile. And he was going to this Jewish person that was claiming to be the Messiah. He didn't think he was worthy. So what does he do? He goes and gets religious people to go talk to Jesus. I'm just going to have these religious people, these Jewish elders, go talk to Jesus on behalf of my servant. Man, is that so not us? I want somebody else to do it. If I could just get Ken to go do it, or Doug to go do it, or Kay to go do it, if I could just get somebody that's more religious than me to go do it. To go talk to Jesus on their behalf. To go bring Jesus to them. I'm not qualified. I am so unworthy. Well, let me tell you something. We all are. We are unworthy. This man knew. It doesn't tell us why he thought he was unworthy. Maybe he had some hidden secret lifestyle, some lie, some sin that was hidden that nobody else knew about. Because obviously, they all thought he was a great guy. He was a good man. He loves the nation. And Roman centurions just didn't really do that. They didn't love the Jewish nation. They ruled over them. They policed over them. But this guy's different. He's a good guy. He even built us a synagogue. Look at all the things he's done for us. He's loved us. He's built something for us. It was all about what he had done for them. But he tries to send them. He tries to send these Jewish elders because he feels like he's not worthy, even though everybody else thought he was. There are people in your life that you think are worthy to go and talk to that person. They are no more worthy than you are. Because when we stand at the feet of Jesus, no one is worthy. And if we wait until we're worthy, and if we wait until we're qualified, we will never go. And that's what we're waiting on. But you know what? It's not about whether we're worthy or whether we're qualified. Because our servant is dying. We've got to do something. So the centurion, he sends these religious people to Jesus and asks them, and they plead on his behalf. They even begged him, saying to come and heal this servant because this was a good guy. But he knew there was something in his life that he didn't feel qualified. And you know what happened? The closer Jesus got, the more undeserving and the more unworthy he felt. Let me tell you, the closer you get to Jesus, the more unworthy you're going to feel. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, so that he could bestow his righteousness upon us. Because he knew we're not worthy. He looked past my faults and he saw my needs. He looked past your faults and he saw your needs. And he chose to die on the cross for you. This centurion had two things that Jesus saw. And he saw his humility. He saw his heart. He knew that the centurion felt unworthy. They had told him that. But he saw something else. He saw a great faith. This man had faith. He had faith in Jesus' compassion. Because he sends these Jewish leaders to Jesus. And he knows the compassion of Jesus, that Jesus would come. He had faith in Jesus' compassion to come to the servant. He had faith in Jesus' authority. He knew Jesus had the authority over life and death. Man, he had not just heard about Jesus, he had heard about Jesus. And so he knew he had faith in the compassion. He had faith in the authority. But he also had faith in the power of Jesus. That Jesus could just speak the word and his servant would be healed. He had faith in those three things in Jesus. My question comes now. Do you have faith in Jesus in those three areas? Do you have faith in his compassion? Do you truly have a faith that you walk by, that you live by, that you stand on, that you know Jesus has the compassion to go to the cross because he loved you? Many of us can say yes. We claim that compassion. We claim that love of Jesus that caused him to die for our sins. But unfortunately, that's where it stops a lot of times. We claim his compassion, but we don't give him the authority. He's supposed to be the Lord of my life. He's supposed to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And I don't give him authority in my life. I just want the compassion. I don't want to surrender authority. That's why my servant is still dying and headed for hell. That's why my friend is still dying and headed for hell. It's because I want the compassion. I want Jesus to have compassion on them, but I don't want to surrender authority that he might call me to do something about it. Not only do I not have or claim and give him authority, but you know, sometimes I don't think we believe in his power. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I believe in Jesus' power. I believe in God's power. Really? Then how come you say, I'm not qualified? Or there would be somebody else better to do this? Because it's not you doing it. It's the power of God through us that does these things that honor and glorify God. If you think that the power of God can't get you to do something, it can't qualify you. It can't empower you. It can't bring you to the point of what he wants you to do. How powerful do you think you are? that you think the power of God cannot work in you. The purpose of God can't be done in my life. We claim His compassion, but we don't give Him the authority and we don't call on His power. As we look at this, we have to have faith in those three areas. Because we have too many servants, too many people in our life that don't know Him, that are dying, that can't do anything on their own. They need Jesus. We have to come to the point of surrendering to His authority and claiming His power. God is calling you to be a centurion. And I'm not talking He wants you to be in charge of 100 people. I'm saying He wants you to do what He's asked this man to do. Have faith in Me. Because you know what happened? When Jesus heard about this man's faith, He stopped and He turned around and He spoke to the crowd that was following Him. And He said, not in all Israel, in all the Jewish people that have been taught about Me all their life, I've never seen this much faith in any of them. This is the greatest faith I've seen in all Israel. Why did He do that? Why did He stop and turn around and tell them that? Because when you and I, what happens when we see someone else do what God has called them to do and God blesses them, what happens? It either encourages us or it convicts us. Now you tell me where you're at, because it's two sides to the coin. Because when I see Him talk about or show me, He'll show me someone else's faith. And I'll see that faith and I'll know that that faith is in the compassion, the authority, and the power of God. And I wonder why I don't have it. And it'll either encourage me or it'll convict me. What is it doing to you? He's calling us as Christians to be the centurion. Are you willing to be that centurion? But you know, you may be sitting here this morning and think, I don't feel like God is calling me to be the centurion. I don't feel like God is calling me to go out there and talk to those people, to try to share. I'm unqualified. There's only one way that you're unqualified. And that is because you don't know that you're still in the shape of the servant. Maybe you're still lost. Maybe you've never come to the understanding of realizing that same compassion has to be accepted to become a child of God. And you don't want to surrender authority. But let me tell you, the compassion that sent Jesus Christ to the cross was for you. We're not talking about you going to talk to anybody else. We're not talking about somebody else coming to talk to you. We're talking about you understanding that the God of heaven sent His Son to die on the cross because He loved you. That's compassion. That's the love of God that He has for you. Remember, if you're not the centurion, your only other choice is the servant. If we're not going to be the centurion, if we are the servant, if you are the servant, I'm not. Praise God, I surrendered to Him. But if you haven't, then that's where you are. And I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying this so that you'll understand that compassion is there. The authority that created heaven and earth, that sustains life on this planet. The air in our lungs, the beat in our heart, the pulse going through our body, He sustains that all the time. That's the authority He really has, whether you want to surrender to it or not. And that power, And He has the power that, like we often say, we can't explain it, but it's the power that will change your heart. It will change your life. And it will change your eternity. But unfortunately, too many people think, well, I'll wait till I get to this position before I'll make the decision. I'm going to go ahead and live my life the way I want to. And then when I get to the state that servant's in Luke 7, then I'll do something about it. James tells us our life is but a vapor which appears for a little bit and then vanishes away. Why would you put that off? There are centurions in your life and you didn't even know it. There are people that have invited you to church. They've talked to you, invited you to Bible study. They've prayed for you. They've loved on you. They want you to come to know the compassion, the authority, and the power of God. But you've got to receive it. Christians, there are way too many servants out there that don't have a centurion. I'm as guilty as you are. Somehow in the back of my mind, I think because I stand behind this wooden box that frees me up. It does not. We have to understand that those people can't get to Jesus on their own. They need someone to share Jesus with them. I don't want to go to church. I was burned by church. I don't want to have anything to do with church people because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, you're right. We are. We are broken. We are sinners. But we're sinners saved by grace. What we have to understand is that we have to be active sinners saved by grace. We need to be going out and sharing. Going out and talking to them. Because one last thing as we close. This centurion, he didn't think he was worthy. He wanted these religious people to go. You know what? Those religious people that he sent were the same ones that rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Don't ever expect some religious person to be able to go for you because you don't know where they're at. They thought he was a great guy, and he knew he was unworthy. He thought they were the guys to do it because they were religious, but yet they rejected the Messiah. Don't ever wait on somebody else to do your job. If you're supposed to be the centurion, you go and do it. You will never be worthy, but you will always be called. You will never be worthy, but you will always be called. As we close this passage this morning, Jesus looked at this man who believed in His authority, His power, and His compassion, and He marveled. You know, there's only two times in the Scripture that Jesus marveled. Mark 6:6, He marveled at the lack of faith in Israel. And here, He marveled at the amount of faith in one man. Which way is He going to marvel at you and me? Because of our lack of faith, or because our faith in His authority, His compassion, and His power? Let's pray. Father, we just come before You. Lord, I pray for those that need to turn their life over to You. Lord, that they would receive what You have for them. That they would surrender their life to You. Father, I pray for those of us that do know You. Lord, empower us, encourage us, convict us, draw us, that we might be the centurions You've called us to be. Lord, speak to us as individuals. Move in this place. Lord, help us to be better. Help us to honor you. Help us to glorify you. Help us to live by the power of your Spirit. In your precious name we pray. Amen.